This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this nice Saturday morning. Especially after the Astros winning Game 6 last night. I'm not believing all this. Oh, Game 7 tonight. Buckle up, folks. It's going to be a ride. Well, I'm your host this morning, Captain Mickey Eastman, and real happy. And how about you, Johnny B?
Hey, we're not too shabby, Captain Mick. You know, keep the good juju flowing.
I'm not changing anything. I'm going to eat the same, eat the same.
You still you got know. Your Astros hat on your prize buck?
Oh, yeah. My right. Big buck's still wearing that Astros hat for 2 years now. It's it's a fixture. He looks pretty sharp in it, matter of fact. This is crazy. It's a lot of fun, man.
This is a wild, wild series.
It's anybody that doesn't like this is just
let's have the boys clean it out tonight. Clean it out and, you know, World Series, man.
That's it. Well,
nobody would have saw this coming after the start we had.
After
good
watching
grief.
Watching Valdez last night, I mean, McCullers, I hope his curveball's on like Valdez's was last night. I mean, that was just lethal.
Mm.
Unbelievable. That guy's turned out to be such a great pitcher. In big games, too. It wasn't luck.
Nope.
It was definitely skill. Well, cool, Johnny. I'm glad you're happy. I'm happy. And I hope all the sickos out there listening are happy this morning. And let's go ahead and get to our weather, as we always start the show off every morning with the most important thing in a fisherman's life is the weather forecast, just about. Oh, our sponsors for today's show, we have the Belleville Meat Market, Texan Roofing, Boyd's One Stop, McLean Trailers, Bauman Marine Service, and Mainstream Marketing. Right now in Galveston, down in G-Town, 71 degrees. Didn't get as cool as they said. That wind's already gone east during the night, and we're not going to have as cool of temperatures as they had predicted. I kind of thought that with us east and the wind. But anyway, they're calling for cloudy early with peaks of sunshine expected later today. High of 79, southeast winds will be 10 to 20 miles per hour. And then tonight, south-southeast winds at 15 to 25. And tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 83. So it's going to warm right back up. Wind south-southeast 10 to 20. So we have a warm front now is what this turned into. But right now barometric pressure in G-Town is 30.15 inches and rising. Visibility 10 miles, and it's cloudy. So that's where we stand. Tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a high that's going to occur here in a few minutes at 4:25 a.m. It's a 1.6, then a low at 10:55 a.m., an 0.3, a high at 6:18 p.m., a 2.0, and a low at 11:58 p.m., a 1.3. We're on a new moon, and sunrise this morning, 7:22 a.m., sunset, 6:46 p.m. Currently, the buoy offshore, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston, we have an east wind at 18, gusting to 22, water temp 77. And at Eagle Point, water temp dropped from 80 yesterday morning to 71 this morning, east-northeast at 17, gusting to 21. And at Morgan's Point, 78-degree water with an east wind at 14, gusting to 16, 30.17 inches only barometric pressure. All right, that should do it. Let's get to it. Let's head over to Sabine. Let's get all fired up with Bill Watkins this morning and see what he's up to. Bill, good morning. What's going on?
I'm doing all right, buddy. But did you say that it was northeast at what?
Well, one station showing northeast. Most everything is showing east.
Okay.
Pretty much. And it's going to be a little stiff. And then it'll kind of swing over southeast tonight.
At Sabine Lake, east is always northeast.
Well,
true. I don't
know
why that is. Yeah, it just the way that shoreline runs, that's what makes it. Oh, wow. I was hoping it wouldn't be that hard.
I'm looking at Sabine Pass right now, and it is northeast at 9.
Oh, I could live with that.
And, well, that you don't like that reading, I can slide you over to Texas Point, and it's showing 21 out of the northeast.
Oh, shoot.
Now, up in the lake, Port Arthur showing northeast at 6.
Yeah.
It's stronger down along the coast, so.
Well, if I decide to go north, it'll be a bumpy ride. If I decide to go south, it'll be a gale. That's all right. Whichever.
I know.
I tell you, you just can't get a break. It's got to be a northeast wind.
Yeah, and they're not calling for it to really come down. You know, usually a northeast wind will lay for you in the middle of the day or afternoon.
Yeah.
And but they're showing switching on around from east to southeast tonight at 15 to 25 out of the southeast.
That's honking.
That's why we're not going to get as cool, have all these cool nights. You know, they were showing lows in the 50s and all that. Well, that ain't going to happen.
No, we're going back.
Not as long as you got wind coming off the Gulf, man.
Nope. No, she's still warm out there.
Yes.
And it doesn't take long. Warms right back up. Well, I might have a bumpy boat ride this morning.
You just might.
But it is what it is. You just deal with it.
Well,
I've had several here lately where I had to make about an 8-mile run into the teeth of that. And then once you get there, you're all right. And coming back, I guess I'll be coming back against the southeast, which still
was might.
Be too bad.
You just might.
But that's better than northwest or southwest.
True.
That's a man's just got to take it like it comes. If you're a good fisherman and you can catch fish on pretty days, that does not prepare you for catching fish on those bad days. That's a whole different trick. And if you think you're really good, but you've never fished in inclement weather, you're not good yet. You just don't know it. I found out the hard way. The first year I got it, oh, my goodness, I thought I could catch trout. Oh, man, I'm good. I can catch anything I want to down there, just like everybody else said. And the first 30 or 40 days in any kind of weather, I figured it out. I don't know how to do this yet. But it all comes together. You know, that's all part of growing up, right?
Yeah, it is. It's part of the learning and growing up process of becoming a guide.
That's it. They will bite on most days. But the one that I won't go out in is a 30-mile-an-hour northwest wind. I don't want it that bad anymore. There's a few fish to be caught if you'll go find your hiding spot.
Hey, the way my fishing is over here, it's hard to catch them when it's perfect. you better be sitting on them when they decide to bite and hope for the best.
Yeah, when the switch turns, you better be there. Chunking. Well, it's been good to mediocre over here. You know, there's something. Usually, there's something to catch.
Yeah, y'all bounce back pretty good, and Calcasieu has too. And y'all are fortunate enough too to have a 12-inch minimum length limit. you know, if you put in Louisiana and you get some kind of fish in the box. But over here, we don't have that luxury. And it, hey, now, don't get me wrong, we have fish. We just don't have the maturity we're, you know, so accustomed to in Galveston. We've got a lot of young fish, and if the minimum length was 14 inches, you can limit out almost every day. But we, Texas won't drop it down an inch. I think, you know, they could have considered that. I don't know whether they even considered it or not, but that would have been nice. If you're going to drop us to five, at least, you know, give us another inch.
Right.
It would be like Louisiana. What are they going to go to, 13 and three quarters? Where that three quarter came in, that's hilarious. That's Cajun eyes for sure. 13 and three quarter inch minimum length when they change their limits over there.
That is not to be like Texas. That's what it is.
Oh, boy.
We're going to be counterflow.
I just hope some people know what three quarter inch is on a tape.
Oh, no, man. It's somebody going to have to mark it for them.
I'm glad it wasn't 5/8 or 13/16 or 9/16.
Well, it's pretty funny when you're trying to keep an 11 and 15 16th inch trout.
Yeah.
You got him on the angle board and you're trying to stretch that tail everywhere you can and loosen him up. And I'm telling people, just throw him back over. Get over it. Throw it back.
If you got to measure him that close, chunk him. Because once you ice that fish down, there's going to be some shrinkage in there.
Oh, yeah. If he's barely over the line, he might not make it.
No.
By the time you get to the dock. It's a funny thing. We have some really funny conversations out there over all that stuff.
Right.
But, I get a lot of people that just want to go fishing and catch a lot of fish and take a few fish home. You know, it's not always about how many bags of fillets you can get. And, I feel bad about, I don't feel bad about keeping a 12.5-inch trout. I feel bad about keeping a 17 or 18-inch trout. And that seems kind of weird, but I'm like, okay, we don't have enough of these, and I really need to be putting them back.
You know, Plog and I have been talking for years about having like a middle slot, you know, harvest the fish on both sides of the slot and leave those middle-aged fish, which is really the brood stock, the heavy spawners, the ones that spawn the best and the most, and leave those, you know, for seed. Let them produce.
Yeah. When you look at it, if you've got 100 3-pounders swimming around and 5 8-pounders, which one do you think is going to be the best spawners? I mean, you know, they're at the upper end of their lifespan, and they still have a lot of eggs and all that, but that 3-pounder, that's the one that's putting that's the energetic, tough fish that's healthy and going to be, that's where your biomass comes from.
Well, and the problem is you've got to have a male big enough to accommodate the amount of eggs that an 8-pounder is going to spew. You're going to have a fish half his size, a 4-pound male, to accommodate enough sperm to fertilize the eggs.
About 25, 12 inches ought to do it.
Yeah, unless you get a gang of 12 inches and all of them participate. But, it's there's pros and cons on it. Everybody has their own views on it. I'm just going by what I've, you know, seen and detected over the years. And
You
remember all the big males we used to catch? We used to catch a lot of 3 to 4-pound males, some of them 5-pounders.
We
don't have that anymore. We don't have that brood stock of males or females anymore.
No. You know, you and I both know that that you got to have a lot of fish, young fish, to grow into bigger fish.
Yes.
But our problem, and we both know this too, our problem has been 4 bad years of floods. And that...
Well, my record shows 6 bad years.
Well, yeah, actually it is. But 4 were so severe, it was records. And all of that moved a lot of our fish. And they didn't come back. So we're having to grow our way back out.
Harvey was the toilet flusher.
Harvey was the toilet flusher.
I mean, that was the last hideout right there, buddy. That was, that was a biblical flood. What'd they call it, a thousand-year flood or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, thousand-year flood. I don't know how they figured that because there wasn't nobody here a thousand years ago.
No, Noah could probably. I mean, Noah could probably tell us.
Yeah, he could relate to that.
Hey, let me do a quick commercial break. I'll come right back at you, Bill. Hang with me.
All right.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Little Johnny Bush, as he passed away, if anybody hadn't heard. Another one has left us. Another good one. All right. Here we go. Let's go back to Bill Watkins. Where were we? Catching pencils?
Well, yeah, we always catch pencils. I'll change the subject. I do a little subject change here. Last night I was at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation banquet here in Beaumont, and we're looking at the items on the bid table. And sure enough, there was two bullet holders like you put around the stock of your rifle, and it hold bullets, and then a whiskey flask. I thought that was just so appropriate that you could have booze and bullets together. Perfect combination. I got a real laugh out of that. I'm thinking, who in the world set that up there? Nice little flask to put in your pocket and get a nip or two while you're out there with a firearm. Great. I know some people.
Oh, you know how responsible Texas hunters are. They don't drink in the deer stand.
Of course not.
They don't drink any more, and they don't drink any less.
They just carry it out there and nurse on it a little bit.
Hell yeah. You know, when it's cold, man's got to have a little nip now and then. You know, cut the edge off.
I'm sure that's what they were thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's that? I've got a hat from Crocker got it for me from it's a store that sells ammo and liquor. It's called
Guns and Bullets.
Guns and Liquor or something like that. Liquor and Guns. I've got the hat. Yeah. He got me a nice camo hat from there. He said it's a great place. I don't know what town it's in, but that's pretty funny.
I guess we should go visit.
Guns and Liquor.
Oh, yeah, man. What a combination. I know some people that shouldn't do that. I kind of shy away from them.
Yeah, I wait for the campfire at night.
That's
because I always hunt in the evenings anyway. I always hunt till dark, so you know it's just like boating and hunting. Just leave the booze alone till afterwards.
Yeah, when you got a guy comes down the ramp and gets in the boat with a whiskey bottle and a package of stuff, a pack of 7-Ups or something like that, you just say, hey, turn right around and go get back in your truck with that and then come back without it.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster, especially if they've already been lit up all night.
Well, I've had some of them too. I had a group from a bachelor party been up all night, and they put a half empty keg of beer in the back of my boat that they had to have for the rest of the day. I don't know whether they all stayed awake for the wedding or not. Hope the groom made it. We had to leave big fish biting every cast so that guy could get married.
What a choice.
Yeah, his bride wouldn't understand staying on those big fish like that. So,
No, I'm afraid that wouldn't work. Not even the best fishing girlfriend in the world would put up with that.
I know what I had to, when I got married, I was right in the middle of a huge trout run, too. October the 2nd, we had them going in Trinity Bay, and I had to light out of here.
Well, one of my children was born while I was offshore. Neighbor had to take my wife to the hospital.
Hey, Blaine's son was born, Blaine Joseph, while he was out in the bay, and I'm out. Debbie called me and his wife and said, hey, I've gone in labor. You got to go find Blaine. We didn't have cell phones back then. This was in the 80s. So yes. I put the boat in. I didn't have a trip, and I went everywhere. And everywhere I'd stop, man, y'all seen Blaine? Yeah, he was here about 30 minutes ago, but he went south. I covered all of Trinity and East Bay, and I run into him right off Smith Point. He was coming back to Trinity, and I cut him off right there and told him, and we pull up to the dock, and my wife's standing there and goes, "It's a boy." She already had it. That's pretty typical. Fire moves out in the bay and his wife has a baby. That's funny. That's yeah. Gad stuff right there.
Oh, yeah. I was 50 miles in the Gulf that day. Hey, she was overdue by about 2 weeks.
Oh, goodness.
And she said, "You know what? Just go fishing. We need some fish." I said, "Okay." Well, I never heard the end of that, let me tell you. She let me know that from then on. Right up to the divorce. Oh, shoot. That's the way it goes, though. You get too far away from the house without a cell phone, and we didn't have any cell phones in those days. That was a heck of a deal.
Yeah, that's... Man, how did we make it back then? No electronics, no cell phones?
Man, I don't know.
There's a lot of guys now without a networking cell phone and a bait bucket, they couldn't make it.
That's
true.
They'd
be lost as a goose.
Yep, makes it pretty easy for them. We used to, all I had was a flasher back in the day. Old Lowrance flasher.
Yep.
Suction cup transducer. Slap it on the back of the boat and go fishing. But before that, I just guessed. It's come a long way. Electronics are amazing.
I just remembered the name of that hat. It's called Liquor and Guns.
Liquor and Guns.
Yeah, it's a retail outlet somewhere up in Hill Country area.
Well, that sounds about right.
Liquor and Guns. Hey, let's pull in here, boys. We can get us some ammo, buy a new gun, and a bottle of whiskey to take to the deer lease.
Oh, man.
Well, that's something, you know, a deer camp, you're going to have liquor, and you're going to and there's definitely going to be a DVD, a CD of Tombstone. That's probably the most watched Western of all time. And no
yes.
Deer lease should be without that.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, man, that's about the best situation right there. That's a normal situation.
It's an escape, man, and, you know, it's millions of people live for deer season. I mean, it's just they're worse than the flounder fanatics, you know, waiting for the fall run on flounder.
Yeah, speaking of those, they've been showing up over on the Louisiana side. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll be there this morning because this front may have kicked off the run. They've been steady checking. And, I mean, when you shouldn't have anybody at the ramp, there's all of a sudden 20 boats or 25 boats in the morning ready to go.
Well, we didn't get the water temperature drop that I was anticipating because this front didn't do what, you know, they said it was going to do.
Well, this may not be the one. It may be a little bit later.
No, it'll help. It'll start something, you know, especially with the shorter days and more hours of darkness. But we'll get a couple of rip snorters through here, and it'll be on like a neck bone.
Yep, it will.
Hopefully them trout do the same thing, too, get all piled up. We just, you know, we could actually use a northwesterly, you know, something that'll really flush. You know,
yeah,
get the,
that's true.
The marshes to dump significantly and get all the shrimp out of there and bring all the fish out of the, you know, all that upstream stuff down into the bay itself, you know, out of the marsh. And I think we'll have a lot better action, cleaner
well,
water.
I can't get a read on what that last hurricane did. I don't know if it flushed some of the shrimp on out into the lake or they
pushed
just
them up to higher, pushed them backwards.
Yeah,
yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, yeah,
it is hard to say. The bird activity has been a little bit slower, but that was just because the lake was tore up. I think, you know, it's still off color from all the wind.
Right.
So as we work through this next week, I'll get a good read on what happened. But there was so much water up in the upper bios, the deep ones, and the rivers.
Right.
I don't think those shrimp left. I think they stayed up there. And a little bit of muddy water come down from the local rains, and that kind of just shut the activity down in that area. But we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what. I've never had back-to-back hurricanes that came in the same area, and we had the same north winds blowing down the lake, you know. So, I mean, over Calcasieu, it might have been different. They might have had wind coming in off the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
Where we were, it was mostly northeast. You know, up at the top of the lake, you don't see much flattening of the grass or cane. But the further south you get, the more of that you see. It was like there was wind-pushed tide that shoved down south.
Right.
And piled up around the shorelines. And I know it must have been pretty severe because I found a baby muskrat in the middle of Sabine Lake last time I went out.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, that, bird was working on.
Birds were working a baby muskrat.
The terns were checking him out. We thought we had some fish, man. Seagulls and terns working a baby muskrat. He's out there in the middle of the lake dog paddling. I thought, man, there's at least 1,000 yards to shore. I thought, well, I wonder if he'll make it. And I decided I wasn't going to pick him up because I didn't have any gloves.
Right. And yeah, you don't want to get bit.
I'm sure if I picked him up, I'd be rewarded with a good bite.
Should have netted him.
I thought about it, but he was so small, I believe he would have went through the holes.
Probably would have had. So what do you got here, a ferret or a muskrat?
It was a muskrat.
Yeah,
an honest
cool.
business bona fide muskrat. His body was about 3 inches long, and his tail was 4 inches long.
He got flooded out of his mound.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they build them big old mounds in the marsh. Everybody will go, what is that? I said, that's a muskrat mound.
Yeah.
Kind of like a beaver dam.
We surmised that he must have been out there since the hurricane. That was about, you know, 3 days past.
Boy, he had a rough time. Survivors, yeah. Man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Bill. Well, I got to roll out of here, and I know you do, too. I know you're looking forward to go fishing that east wind this morning, so I'll let you get to it.
Can't wait.
I'm telling you, I know it. I can feel it. Well, if somebody wants to get with you, Bill, throw them out a number, bud.
409-786-2018.
OurFishSabineLake.com.
That's it.
All right, buddy.
Bill, have a good day.
I wish you the best. Be safe out there. All right, bud. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. We're just going to drink all day today, huh, Johnny B?
I mean, until the Stros game.
Hey, that's it. Drinking songs. Here we go. Wind's blowing, and the Astros are coming on tonight at 7:23, something like that, Central Time. We'll all be there. Might have to cook something special this evening. Go with a game. All right. Well, let's get to it. It's 4:36 here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Lake Conroe now, and let's get plugged in with Riverboat Richard. Rascal himself, the fish dude. What's up, man?
Not a lot, Mickey. How are you this morning?
I couldn't be better. Life is good.
You ain't kidding.
It's
you
precious.
Kidding. You every day. I guarantee you, most people don't realize it, but it is, and it's short too. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Life is way too short.
Yes, it is.
It is a good night. I guarantee you. I'm running out of time, and I'm having fun every day as it is anyway.
You need to slow down. You're burning too much oil. You may run out of oil before it's over with.
That's all right. That's all right. I got the can WD-40 on the side.
Just stay lubed up and keep going.
That's it. Just keep it going. As long as I can go, I'm going to go, I guarantee you. But yesterday, that thing, the wind was getting it, boy.
Did you fish yesterday?
I was going to, but and if they hadn't wanted the hybrid fish, I would have. We could have catfished or anything like that. But
oh, y'all could probably nuke the catfish in that weather change like that.
Oh, there ain't no doubt. But they wanted the hybrid fish, and yeah. I would have had to got it right out there in that dang dull wind, and there is no
way. Not good.
I mean, I wasn't going to do it. You know, I mean, I sit around there. Oh, good night. I sit around there till about 8:30. They're over in College Station. I told them, I said, y'all just hang out, and I'll wait here and see if this wind's going to die down. And if it does, we'll go get them. If it doesn't, we'll just reschedule it. So ended up, I sat there till about 8 o'clock and kept watching the wind, and it just kept gusting and just wouldn't ever settle down. So I called it. So, I mean, ain't no sense in sitting there wasting the whole day waiting on it to die down. And I was sitting there watching the dang, my little weather app, and it kept saying it wasn't going to be till late in the day anyway. So it is what it is. But we're going to go out there and see if we can't hold them catches half a day. And there may be even some hybrids this morning. I know that's what we're going to do this morning, hybrids and catfish. And then this afternoon, we're going to go just hammer on them catfish.
Yeah.
So it'll all be good. And I had to take a back road this morning because they got 45 shut down for construction and stuff.
Yeah, imagine that, construction.
I know. Can you believe it?
You can't go anywhere without construction jams and all that. It's crazy, man.
I know, but I took this one back road and it kind of reminded me that everybody always asks me, when are they going to fix Stubblefield Lake Bridge? Well, I think they started on it last week or sometime. They may have even been yesterday, but they supposedly were going to start rebuilding the Stubblefield Lake Bridge, you know, after Hurricane Harvey washed it out. And, you know, a lot of people fish from there, especially this time of year. But when they washed it out, it made it where no one could fish, you know, because it was unsafe to walk across and this and that. So they had it all set down. So it was kind of like the Bolivar of Lake Conroy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One of those places the rollover of Lake Conroy where people walk up there and fish. And you know, you can launch a small boat or a kayak. People still launch kayaks and small boats up there. But the bridge itself was out, you know, it wasn't functional. But they are rebuilding it. I don't know what it's going to be like. If it's going to be all concrete, if them old wood slats are going to still be there or not. But it's all good no matter what. But anyway, hopefully that dang wind ain't going to blow so hard today. I know it ain't, though. It ain't blowing near like it was yesterday already.
No, I was looking. You've got about a 7-mile-an-hour wind out of the east up there on Conroe.
It is a little bit cloudy this morning.
There's going to be some intermittent clouds and breakthroughs during the afternoon.
You know, that's kind of crazy, though. You know, have such a strong cold front blow through like that. And normally behind those, it's clear. And it stays clear. And now
it cloud. You know, you saw the front line clear the coast, and then it came back during the night as a warm front. So that's where the clouds came from.
That's what it is. It snuck up on me while I was sleeping. It can't be doing all that stuff now.
How cool is it up there?
Oh, it's right now I'm at 60.
Yeah.
So when I left the house a while ago, it's 51. So it's 60 right now, and I'm almost at the lake. So it's not too bad.
Yeah. They were calling for it to be up your way. Should have been in the low 50s, but this front didn't have the punch they thought.
Well, I tell you what, yesterday morning I thought I was sitting on the polar cap. It had plenty of punch yesterday morning with that dying rain and wind. Good night, I was sitting there shivering.
Winds gusting to 30. Yeah, it was honking, and that is a slimy day.
I guarantee you, boy. Then later on it cleared out and it was so nice. It looked like, man, I ought to be out there. And as soon as you step out in that wind, it's like, good, no, I ain't going to do it. No way. That stuff there will haul you out. I promise you.
Yes, sir.
That's one of the things a lot of people don't pay attention to, especially on the clear days, you know. You're out there, oh, man, it's a gorgeous day. Let's go fishing. Get out there and the wind's blowing 100 miles an hour. Well, I mean, it don't do no good. You can't hold on like that. I mean, it just, good night. And yesterday, you know, I heard some people, I didn't get out there, but I heard some people talk about the south end of the lake was really, really going pretty hard. North end was fishable. That's what I was saying Thursday, you know, the way the lake dog legs, that north end of the lake's going to be protected. Anything south 1097 is going to beat you up. Anything north, you're all right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just, and plus if you're bass, like largemouth fishing, this time of year anyway, you're wanting to be on the north end to begin with, because that's where your warmer, or actually your transition zones are, not necessarily your warmer water, but your temperature changes that are dropping, and you know your thermoclines are kind of matching up, and the fish are bunching up in some of these areas, the little funnel points that we were talking about the other day.
Right.
You know, it's just it everything changes. You know, it's kind of a magical time of year. All the fish start feeding on all the bait, you know, and the bait start bunching up. You know, that's everything just kind of gets fun if you hit it right. You know, that's the thing, hitting it right. You get the perfect day where all the bait's in the right spots. You catch fish schooling on the surface. You'll have hybrids. You'll have white bass. You'll have largemouth mixed in them. They'll all be schooling on the surface. Right now, I mean, goodness, they've been ganging up on the rocks. You know, I just can't get a consistent big bite on the rocks. You know, that's the thing. But if you can find some of these deeper hard spots or cement or rock on the bottom, then you're good. You know, that's the best part about right now, because with the water temperatures cooling down, those dang fish are trying to stay warm. You know, they like that warmer temperature, like, you know, just like we do. You know, they don't want to freeze to death every dang day. So that's what they're doing. They're just messing around trying to get right, and then they're chasing the bait too. And the bait's doing the same thing, because you know, I've noticed a lot of people fishing up on the north end around the 1375 bridge, and they get up there this time of year and start fishing this time of year all through November, December, January, February, because those crappie will start ganging up around those bridge pilings up there. And right now it's getting almost where you got to fight for position on those pilings, you know, and that's what they'll be doing in the spring. You'll be up there and you'll have 20 boats trying to get on two set of bridge pilings. It don't work, you know, so they get up there arguing and raising cane at each other, so I'll stay away. But it's, you know, it's fun to kind of watch them. They start getting out there about 3 o'clock in the morning and tying up, and I got here first. Well, then you get somebody out there about 2:30. You know, it's funny to watch them. It is, but it's, you know, then the bridge pilings on the 1097 bridge, they're going to start firing up real hard anyway. They're usually pretty good for some crappie and everything else, but typically the months that I like, you know, crappie fishing on the 1097 bridge, coldest days of the year. You pick those coldest days of the year, I'll tell you what, that bridge is hot. I mean, them sunguns will stack up on there, and there'll be some big ones on there too.
And I understand.
It's fun to catch them when they're there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're thick.
That's part of what you got to do. Well, hey, Richard, I got to run. If somebody wants to call you, give them some info.
All right, make anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, bud. Richard, have a good day, and we'll see you next week. Be safe.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. All right, take care. All right, that's the Fish Dude up on Lake Conroe. Now we're going to run down the coast to Matagitdown Gorda and see what's up with Charlie P. this morning. Charlie, good morning. What's up?
Morning, Mickey.
How you doing there, bud?
Well, another day older.
Yes, sir. And you're still here.
Yeah. Laying here wondering what the hell I'm going to do with these people today with this weather. I got a boat fish the next 3 days.
Oh, Lord.
We have tough conditions, man. Tough conditions. What a crazy year.
It is. Hey, your Stros, they pulled off another one, 3 in a row against the Tampa Bay Rays.
I can't believe they went that far.
Only the second team in Major League history to ever make it to a Game 7 after losing the first three.
Yeah.
Like the Red Sox did it in 2004, and that was it. They ended up winning the World Series.
Yeah. And more than half the team not hit. Just think what would happen if that all-star hit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they,
you know,
it's Bregman's kind of cool, and Gurriel's cool, and, you know, those bats
Gurriel
are cold right
cold.
Now. Yeah, he hadn't been right since he hurt his hand.
Yeah.
I think it has some kind of effect. Oh, and he's a good one.
Yeah.
He's a vacuum cleaner at first base.
Well, maybe they'll come through when they have to. We'll hope for the best.
Well, tonight will be the big tell. We'll see.
Wish that game wasn't so late.
I know. I may have to work me some extra nap time in or something today because I know tomorrow morning I'll be sleep deprived. That's a fact.
You'll be dragging. What about the other game? Who ended up winning that one?
The Dodgers won that one. Yeah.
Well,
so they've got a game six today. So.
Yeah, at least that's been something to do. That's been the Astros have been enjoyable the past 3 days.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. Well, a lot of these hits are finding spots now. Before they were just spanking the ball and it was going right to somebody.
Yeah.
And sooner or later the worm's going to turn for you, and it has.
Yep.
I mean, it was like, man, the defense that Tampa Bay was playing, it was like there was 12 guys on the field instead of 9. There was somebody
right
in every hole, man. They had them played perfect defensively.
Yep.
But the worm turns.
The best today. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
In the meantime, the fishing is just, it's a weather thing, you know.
Right.
You take these people and, the worst part of this job is disappointing people, but you still got to do the best you can. I did not fish yesterday. I rescheduled my group.
Good for you.
But a lot of people did.
Yeah. Tommy, I was talking to him. Bink had something like a 15 boater or something they had to run in that weather yesterday.
I think most of them just froze their butt off. That's what they did. But
was it drizzly and rainy all day down there too?
No. No, I was in Sugar Land and it rained all damn day.
Yeah, it did here too. It was slimy.
But it did not rain here.
Okay.
It did not rain. At least they were lucky on that.
Yeah, I didn't have to put up with that slimy rain stuff with that wind. Or you talk about getting cold if you get wet.
Yeah. I think most of them went to the river and caught, a couple of fish, a boat. And still, some of the red fishermen found the redfish and had a good day with that. But just not good conditions at all.
No.
I'm glad I wasn't out there, man. I didn't want no part of it.
No.
And there was a time it didn't make any difference what the weather did. I went. So, it's a sign of getting old.
Yeah, what's that old saying? I'm not that mad at him anymore.
Yeah, no. And we're supposed to have wind for this whole damn week, I think.
Oh, right? I know it. It's going to be kind of iffy.
Yeah, and from a different direction every day.
East today, it'll be southeast tomorrow, and south-southeast Monday, and cranking.
Yeah.
Here we go.
That's the life of a guide stuff.
Yeah.
Not that easy.
Typical fisherman living by forecast. Weather is the most important thing.
We need some northwest wind to flush all this stuff out and get things going.
I was telling Bill Watkins that earlier. We need one of those good blustery fronts to come in northwest and drop these tides real good and the water temperature.
Last year at this time, October was stupendous over here.
Yeah, y'all were smoking them.
We were every day.
It was nuke city.
Yeah. It's just every year is different. You got to adapt to it, figure it out, do the best you can.
Like a good Marine, you got to adapt and overcome.
There you go. Survive another day.
That's it.
Yep. In the meantime, we just keep plugging away and watching people die. You say Johnny Bush died?
Yep. Oh, he's gone. Lost another good one.
Man. He was a good one.
Yep.
He was one of my favorites.
Think there's been any cold beer drank to that music?
Yeah. I liked him.
Beer joint music, man.
Yeah. Gary Stewart had some good whiskey songs, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Both of them are cool. A lot of dough, Mickey. We're going to get out and do the best we can again today.
Charlie. Well, man, do your thing and work your magic and be safe doing it. And I'll talk to you next week. Hope you whack them and stack them. Throw them out a number, bud.
713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Good talking to you. Be safe, buddy.
Take care, Mickey.
All right, Charlie. All right, that's Captain Charlie Paradosky down in Mattagut down, Gorda.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.